Okay, yeah. Can you just introduce yourself?
Okay, my name is Onoha Chukwuma Sunday. I'm an actor, a professional actor, and that's what I do.
Okay, yeah. You have read the consent form that I just gave you.
Yeah.
Well, just to paraphrase, this project is titled Reimagining Tragedy in Africa and the Global South, Red Tags. It's an Andrew Mellon funded project on adaptations of Greek tragedy in the last 50 years or thereabout. And earlier this year, I saw you in a performance of Olarotimi's The Gods Are Not to Blame, which is an adaptation of Sophocles' Oedipus Rex. In that performance, you played the title role of Odewale, equivalent of Sophocles' Oedipus. I want to ask, how was it like playing that character, that title character, knowing that it's a tragic hero?
The character that I assumed, which is Odewale, in the play The Gods Are Not to Blame by. So that character actually, the tragic role of this particular character, it wasn't so easy. Why? Because it's an adaptation. So we're moving it away from the Yoruba culture that it was originally set by the playwright. And then we are bringing it into, well, I say, a multicultural environment where we have different cultures, you know, coming together. You have the Benin culture, you have the Yoruba culture, you have the Igbo culture, and a fusion of other culture, Calabar and the likes. So it was not really very easy, I must say. It's kind of challenging. Why? Because for you to understand the culture of all of these other, you know, tribes and be able to, you know, fit in. So the role, I will say, the tragic person, which is Odewale, the lead character in the play, understands the fact that this story revolves around him, his birth, the faith, and everything that, you know, that holds existence of the people in the play. So I would say that character that he assumed was not really very easy for him to be able to, you know, comprehend.
Now let's look at in relation to that play and in relation to your own personal private experience, what would you say is tragic and how would you describe tragedy?
Okay. Well, coming from my own personal experience or personal understanding, tragedy in the African community is something that holds or threatens the existence of the people. We believe here that tragedy is not when someone dies or not when something bad happens to an individual, but anything that threatens the entire life of a group of people, a race, a tribe, this is what we see or what we consider as tragedy.
So what then is now, how do you say something is tragic?
Okay. Tragic to me is, or tragedy to me is a communal war. Something that happens and everybody is plunged into chaos, into doom, or something that portends, you know, evil to not just an individual, but to a generation or a race. That's what I consider to be tragedy.
So, do you think people are more sensitive to tragedy than comedy?
Yes, of course. People are more akin to tragedy than comedy. Why? Because they feel comedy is just something that entertains them and not necessarily, you know, put them into this thinking, you know, mode. But tragedy is this thing that hits them, they begin to put in themselves into the role of this tragic, you know, characters, and begin to understand that this is also likely to happen to them. So it gives them that sense of caution. It gives them that sense of knowing that this thing has a tendency of happening to me, and they would always want to guard against it. So they are more sensitive to tragedy than comedy.
Okay, so if you say people are more sensitive to tragedy, is it a case of being that the tragedy is an escapable aspect of the human society, or simply what people cause by themselves, or something that befalls them by accident?
Well, tragedy, I would say, is man-made to some extent. Although some culture believe that tragedy can also be orchestrated by divine forces, but most we believe, or in this African angle, that tragedy has a link between human factor and the divine factor, in the sense that the gods would, divinity would not do what humanity is supposed to do. So in most cases, we are actually the one who orchestrates our troubles, our problems by ourselves, and the gods are just there to, you know, mete out justice to anyone who has, you know, done evil. We basically are the ones who fashion out our faith.
So you think most of the time tragedy is a result of human action and the consequences of those actions.
Of course.
Now let's go back to the play that you started.
Okay.
You played Odewale. Do you think, in the context of the play that you featured in,
yes,
did you think that the tragedy that was dramatized was a result of what the gods wanted, or what was perpetuated by the character himself, and had to face the consequences?
Well, when we look critically at the play, Gods Are Not to Blame, we will understand that irrespective of the fact that a pronouncement has been made by the gods that, okay, you are going to kill your father and then marry your mother. That's the prophecy. But then, prophecy has just been foretold or has been announced. It is not prophecy that fulfills itself. Rather, it is human being that fulfills this prophecy. Of a true, Odewale has been fated to commit this, heinous, crime. But then, if we look at the undertone, we will understand that there are certain factor inherent in him which actually brought about his doom or his tragic fall. And that is some of the traits of pride, traits of anger, uncontrollable anger that he possessed in him, which of course, if we look at tragedy from the definition of tragedy, you will discover that it is something that will be a flaw in man that will push him to his doom. So in that premise, or in that wise, I will say strongly that I, Odewale, I could have avoided or averted this faith if I apply restraint, self-control, I temper, justice with mercy, and I avoid being curious, unnecessarily curious. So there was this inordinate desire to know, this quest for knowledge, which pushed me to, trying to discover what I would call the forbidden knowledge. And that was actually what led me to, doing what was wrong. So if my own angle as an actor in this play, I would say my curiosity, my uncontrolled anger was actually what led to this, chaos that the people was plunged into.
Yeah. Olarotimi's play actually ended almost similar to the way Oedipus and Sophocles ended his own play. He gorges out his eyes after the mother stabbed herself to death, and he leaves. So, would you say now, tragic plays or all tragedies must necessarily end in a tragic way. Or maybe I should rephrase.
Okay.
Must all tragic plays have tragic ending?
Well, it all depends on the kind of message or the kind of story one wants to pass across. It must not really end in a tragic way. Why? Because not all tragedy is meant to have some disastrous end, particularly to the character, the lead character involved.
Okay, now let's look at it. If we take it from that, your point, in contemporary time,
yes,
what now constitutes tragedy?
Okay.
When we look beyond drama, text now,
okay,
let's look into the society, okay, in its own. What constitutes tragedy?
Okay, what constitutes tragedy is when people begin to disregard warnings, not paying attention to signs. They don't want to follow the norms, the rules and regulations that has been laid down. Some of those things can actually portend trouble or danger. So the conscious effort of people not to heed to warnings can actually be a tragic sign that is sure to happen.
Okay, can you be more specific? What do you mean by warnings or signs? What do you mean? Can you be more specific?
Okay, let me bring it home. A parent who has his children and is already telling them what to do and what not to do, because this person has wealth of experiences when it comes to life matters. But these children keep neglecting the advice of their parent and begin to go in their own ways, which of course the parent have seen it, that the end thereof will be sad. So they constantly refusing to obey parent instruction or any other person, their guardian, who is trying to lead them in the right path, would automatically result to their doom. And so that's what I want to even take it from that background.
Now, let's still return to the play in which you performed as a... Now, you mentioned the one of the staging choices being the director making it a kind of a multicultural play. What he did was to move the play out of the Yoruba setting that Olarotimi has put in, then insert it into a kind of a multicultural Nigerian, where he's able to bring together several tribes. And one of the tribes happened to be Igbos. You are an Igbo man.
Yes.
And you played that role. Does that make it easy for you to be able to play that role? Or was there any form of obstacle that you had to surmount in order to realize, the role on stage?
Yes, of course. There were challenges, obvious challenges. And one of the challenges I encountered in trying to interpret the character of Odewale in the play Gods Are Not to Blame by Olarotimi was the fact that I need to strip myself away from my Igbo, background. What I mean by that is I need to understand that this is not an Igbo play, but this is a play that is coming from a particular root. So I need to do adequate research about where this play is coming from, try to know the playwright's intention about this particular character, and then having gained that knowledge or that understanding of, okay, this is how the Yoruba cosmology, how it works in their own domain. So it helps me to understand, and then I begin to pitch it into my own Igbo culture. That, okay, peradventure, if this thing happened in my own setting, how will I react to it? So I would say it's very challenging. Why? Because I need to understand the Yoruba angle of it, and then other cultures that were also merged in this creation. So that was one of the challenges. And then language also posed to be another major challenge, in the sense that Odewale, as the name implies, is a Yoruba name. So I need to know some of the language, some of the linguistic terms that are used in the play, have deeper understanding in the area of proverb, the use of proverbs in the play. So I cannot just say a proverb in Yoruba without understanding the meaning. And Yoruba words are highly connotative. They are pregnant with meaning. So for me to be able to deliver a line that has some proverbial statements, I need to understand the meaning of that particular statement I'm saying, and how to, you know, say it. So language was a barrier. The different cultures also was also another barrier. And the fact that I was coming from an Igbo, angle to approach a Yoruba piece was also another major challenge that I encountered in the play.
Okay, now let's now look at another point of view. There was a point that you actually needed to speak that your Igbo language.
Yes.
And we noticed that there's a bit of a challenge in terms of how you are supposed to relate with the character that played Alaka.
Okay.
You're supposed to be an Igbo man.
Yeah.
When, of course, from the beginning of the play up until that point,
yeah,
you have been presented as a Benin king.
Yes.
At that moment in the play, how are you able to manage having to switch from an Igbo and a Benin character,
yeah,
per se, into an Igbo character? Now we are looking at the role that language plays in a tragic play.
Okay, it is very, very, language is a very strong, means, or will I say medium of communication. So now the role the language played in the play, in fact, is very, very significant and highly important. It was quite challenging for me to be able to switch from these, unique cultures in Nigeria, Benin, Yoruba, and now Igbo. I was made a Benin king in the play, and then when I met my brother from where I came from, which is Igbo, I had to also speak with him, communicate with him in the Igbo dialect. So this movement or shift from a particular language to another was also something one has to pay serious attention to in terms of doing your research, in terms of doing adequate practice. Because of course this is not a culture that you are born into. So it was not so easy for me to be able to know how to speak the Benin language, the Yoruba language, and now the Igbo language, into the point of using it in performance, using it to communicate to the audience to the extent they were able to understand, So a lot of research, a lot of, hard work was put into it in order to be able to bring it out to what it was on that day.
Yeah, thank you so very much for your time, Chukwuma. And I really appreciate the time that you devoted for this interview.
Yeah, you're most welcome, sir.